Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Well, thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift with myself and Brandon Drake.
Hey, here we are. How are you doing?
Dude, do you ever leave the studio? That's the question.
I live here.
Yeah.
Secretly.
Always in the studio. Are you sick of shoveling snow?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to start again.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's like a non-stop. I just, my back hurts. I'm going to have a torn rotator, something.
It never ends. Well, you know what? We could just get out of this life easy and just drop dead in the driveway.
You know, that happens, you know.
You see it on the local news all the time, guys our age dropping.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I oddly enough, there's some sick part of me that really likes shoveling the snow.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
I mean, I could probably afford to go out and buy a blower, but I've got one of these great big shovels, a big long one they use for doing hockey, you know, rinks, outside hockey rinks. And I get my driveway done in like 5 minutes.
Well, you
if
know
it's
what?
Light and fluffy. If it's not, I'm just...
Yeah, if it's the real wet packed stuff,
oh, yeah.
Then that's
no.
Pretty dangerous. But like you said, I love it with the caveat that it's no more than, say, an hour. After an hour of nonstop, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I want to be done with it.
Yeah. Well, we live on a cul-de-sac, too, so it's like I have to do part of the street. And my neighbor does part of the street. The rest of the neighbors, well, maybe not so much. But we do a lot of it ourselves. You know, we have to. I just can't. I got a little car. It just won't go through, you know, 3-4 inches of snow, and I'm done. Not going anywhere.
You know, the shovel you mentioned, doesn't it seem like if you were to get the snowblower that it's almost like capitulation? Like you're kind of caving into
yes.
The fact that...
To my age?
To age, yeah. And that's part of my mindset.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's one of those personal... you know, I take some personal satisfaction that I get out and I have it done as quickly as possible and it looks good. And, well, yeah, I guess for a simpleton like me, I like taking small satisfaction out of stuff like that.
It's a sense of accomplishment.
Indeed. Indeed. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of accomplishments, let's take care of our sponsor this half hour is MarvelousMary.com. Now, Mary Novak is a licensed Platinum Remax real estate agent. And you can call her at 810-844-2280. And if you're just wondering what your home value is currently or what the market reports are looking like or whether you're thinking of selling or thinking of buying, Mary Novak is the person to call. That's 810-844-2280. Or you can go to MarvelousMary.com. She's got a great website. I complimented her on it when I went to it. I was like, whoa. That's very easy to use, very simple, real nice. So she's a nice lady. So if you're thinking of doing anything in the real estate, call Mary Novak or go to MarvelousMary.com. How's that?
You know, that's perfect. Perfect. You know, you mentioned selling and buying. Excuse me, my voice cracked. I feel like Peter Brady on the Brady Bunch there for a second.
No, back to the Brady Bunch.
But years ago, back in the day at Western Michigan, which we both attended,
go Broncos.
I was at a fraternity meeting, and we had this president who was very articulate, and he's going on, and it was like leading up to Rush Week, and he was walking around, and he was, you know, kind of proselytizing to us to motivate us, and he said, you know, what do your whole life? You sell. You're always selling something. You're selling yourself. You're selling yourself to others. You're selling maybe this, that, and your job, but you're always selling. What else are you doing in this life but selling? And one of the guys kind of sheepishly raises his hand, and then he puts his hand back down, and the president sees him. He goes, no, no, no. Go ahead. Tell me. What were you going to say? And he says, well, you buy.
What fraternity did?
Sigma Phi Epsilon.
Oh, okay. I was like, Lambda Chi.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were in a fraternity.
Yeah, I wasn't in very long. They threw me out. They trashed the house. Yeah.
Well, that's a story.
You want to talk Animal House? Yeah, we turned. They loved us because we brought a bunch of people in, had great parties, and then they said, you got to go. You know, you're throwing beer all over the house. You got to go. They dumped us, like three or four of my buddies. We were out within weeks. You know, they're like, love having your party, but you just destroyed our house. You got to go.
Well, that's classic.
It was a classic.
We had a green beer.
You remember the old I state your name?
Yeah.
It was us. Yeah, it was crazy.
We had a St. Patrick's Day green beer party one time, and it turned into a beer fight, throwing beer everywhere. And, you know, your clothes the next morning could just stand up by themselves in the corner. And I could elaborate a lot more on what happened, but yeah.
Beer.
Yeah.
All right, well, I want to start with something this morning. We'll run through. We got a lot to cover, man. It was a good week, wasn't it, for us? It was a great week. I got an email. We've talked about subsidies, right, in this RFS proposal that's out. The farmers are looking to get, some farmers, not all of them, are looking to get subsidies from the government to grow corn for ethanol production, blah, blah, yeah. blah.
Well, know. They get subsidies to grow corn and subsidies sometimes not to grow corn.
Well, exactly. You know, as far as, I'm not a subsidy guy. I just disagree with it. If you can't do it on your own mm-hmm. and make money at it, you ought not be in that business. That's just me.
Sure.
But I got this email. So I've been pondering that back and forth. I'm kind of against the RFS, right? And... But I haven't spoken up about it because I didn't know too much. Well, I got this email that finally cinched it for me. I am against the RFS. I got an email from a guy by the name of Jim Zook, Z-O-O-K, from the Michigan Corn Growers Association. And it says, friends, Big Oil and their powerful lobbyists are launching a full-on assault against the renewable fuel standard. The RFS is a progressive policy that creates jobs, protects our Great Lakes, and reduces our dangerous dependence on foreign oil. That's right. Progressive policy. Well, goodbye to you and the RFS, Mr. Zook, whatever. I don't know where you got my email from, but you sure sent it to the wrong guy, you know?
Right.
So, yes, I am dead set against the renewable fuel standard. Yeah, no, because I don't think it makes sense to use electricity and other stuff, you know, to, you know, some. I don't know if it's true or not. I will have to get Joe Vollmer back in. He's kind of the expert on fuels. But it just doesn't make sense to me. You're driving up food costs. Right?
Oh, absolutely. It's insanity.
I saw that and I was like, I got to talk about that.
And this whole ethanol thing, we've touched on how it ruins your lawnmower engine, yes. your car engine.
Yes.
It corrodes it. It builds up. It's terrible. And isn't there studies that show it takes like a dollar of ethanol or what have you to create like 50 cents worth of your input yeah. is much greater than your
yes.
output is.
I've said that before, too. No. I think Joe said it was wrong. I had heard that it costs like a gallon of gasoline to make a gallon and a half of ethanol. I'm like, what's the point?
Right.
You know, really? Am I going to do that? That's if you're going to do something with grain like that, make vodka.
Well,
the day I can fill my car up with vodka, you know what I mean? A little in the mouth.
Or grain alcohol. Remember yeah. those parties?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
What was it called back? Everclear.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you used to dump it in a big trash can like we did in your fraternity parties? Okay.
We dumped everything. It didn't matter what it was. Into a great big trash can. I had a buddy by the name of Todd who at Halloween, he would take these, he would make the big pumpkin, right? Fill it with all the booze. God knows what was in there.
Wow.
And then he would literally take small little pumpkins, like these little hand pumpkins, and cut the tops off, hollow them out, and draw faces on them. And your job when you came to the party was to pick the one that suited you.
Hmm.
And you would literally walk into the basement and he had 400 tiny little pumpkins he'd carved out himself. And you
it's
had
dedication.
To pick one. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he was a freaky guy. Yeah.
We were too lazy to do that. You guys were much more innovative than us.
Yeah, it wasn't me. I'm a plastic. I'm a red Solo cup guy, man. That's me. Yeah. There was something before we get into the politics, and you know we will. This kind of really creeped me out a little bit today. There was an article. About, and I put it on the Daily Drift, so you can go to thedailydrift.com, blah, 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 and see all the stuff I put on there. Will your next phone be powered by your own heartbeat? Scientists reveal an implantable battery that can charge from the movement of our organs.
Mm.
Huh? How's that for being a Borg?
That's
what I immediately thought to myself. I'm like, ooh.
That takes biotech to a whole new level.
Yeah. I mean, we all got muscles everywhere in our body. Can they stick that in your arm or your leg? Or, yeah, we used to have muscles in our body. Now we're just fat.
Just a saggy lump of fat.
It says, forget about carrying around a charger. Your next mobile device could be powered by the beating of your heart. A team of U.S. and Chinese researchers have revealed a tiny implantable battery they have used to power a pacemaker. So I guess it's good for that kind of thing. You know what I mean? No more of those batteries and stuff and whatnot. It converts the constant movement of organs such as the heart, lungs, and diaphragm into energy. Who knew?
Who would have guessed?
It's kind of spooky, though. Really, I think about the Borg, dude. That's what came right to my mind. I was like, ooh. But I wanted to talk about it. It's pretty cool. Tiny piezoelectric power. Did I say that right? Piezoelectric power plants are comprised of lead zirconate titanate nanoribbons.
I was going to say, this sounds like nanotechnology to me that we're getting into.
Housed in a biocompatible plastic so it doesn't make your body get all screwed up anyways. I thought it was interesting.
Hey.
That's the kind of stuff you'll find on the Daily Drift, right? You know?
It's progress, technology.
I used to be a lot more well-versed on things besides politics. I mean, I still do. I'm a trivia king, dude. I'm good at Trivial Pursuit, the 80s game, right?
Okay. You were one of those guys. Huh? I could really rock the world on
it. I am filled with useless information.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Absolutely.
Me too. When I watch Jeopardy, I can get like 70, 80% of them, you know, without really trying.
I've always thought I could do very well at Jeopardy if I spent a little time studying. You know, I don't have time to read as much as I'd like to.
Well, I think those contestants are provided with some type of reference books to kind of study before they go on.
The Encyclopedia Britannica.
Hey, you want to buy some?
Yeah. Is there any salesman doing Encyclopedia Britannica anymore?
Door-to-door. Can you imagine that? Not in today's world. There's no way. Absolutely no way.
Right.
You know, anyone knocks on your door, do you even open it? Would you? I mean, unless you know it's like a UPS guy.
No, I'd look first. You know,
But some guy standing out there with a clipboard, you know, and you see him walking around would you open it for someone like that? Not me. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to look at him. I don't care what their cause is. I don't want any part of it.
It would depend. If he's a mesomorph, I might consider about eating him, you know.
Because I just
could get hungry with a few.
You know,
I'm not going to go there.
You know, it's like some Greenpeace
Cannibal
guy.
Cannibal,
you know?
Gary, yes.
Yeah,
well, before Gary. This digresses into something else.
You dress up like Milky the Clown when you open your door. That'll scare him away. You don't need a guard dog if you do that. Or maybe Oopsie.
Oh, no.
We got to go with Oopsie.
Oh, no.
He was scary.
All right, let's take a quick call from Jenny from Brownstown. Jenny, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jenny.
Well, first of all, I heard some kind of garbage somewhere that DTE is, you know, all fired up because they're going to be able to have some big windmill and use that. Oh, it was a commercial for some of their technology. And I'm like, come on, give me a break.
Windmills? The kind of windmills that kill birds and stuff?
Boy, I guess.
That's not very green, is it, if we're killing all kinds of birds?
But
I mean,
anyway,
don't get me wrong. I like a windmill as much as anybody. I think they're kind of cool to look at. But
well, that's fine, but what if there's no wind?
Yeah, well, that's a problem.
Yeah, there's always wind at this radio station.
They should put one right here in front of our desk.
Outside the building there, I guess.
Oh, yeah, we could generate electricity for the whole world.
There you go.
So, Jenny, you want us to talk about executive order threats.
Yeah, you know what he's been saying lately?
Mm. Yeah, the chief threat, the threatener in chief.
Dear leader?
Yeah.
Dear leader. Yeah, it bothers me too. I mean, it's we're going to get into that today too. So you're reading our minds again.
Oh, okay. I just wondered how many people would. I mean, how many of these people are stupid enough to continue picking it, especially if he does something really big? I mean, he's had over 1,000 executive orders now. Anyway, I think
about half of the voting electoral population, I guess, since they voted for him a second term, knowing full well who and what he was. Yeah, we're a dumbed down electorate.
Yeah,
that's why
this is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wonder how many people would actually stand up and say, "We're sick of this."
Other than me, you, and Drake, and anyone else at this radio station,
Theron,
of course,
Matt and Clark,
Matt.
Yeah, Matt.
So, well, everyone down here at the station. That's why. That's why we're here, right? Well, great. Thanks for the call, Jenny.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jenny.
Have a good one.
Take care. Hey, I know we're going to talk about Hillary Clinton a little bit later on, but let me pose this question to you. I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Should we take a break first?
No.
You want to hear it?
I want to pose this to you before we go to break.
Okay.
If you had to vote for either Hillary Clinton or Michelle Obama for president, who would you choose?
Oh, seriously?
Seriously.
Oh, that's not fair.
I know it's not fair.
Oh. Derek, let's go to break.
No.
Really?
We can't go to break.
You're going to ask me to make that decision right here on the spot? I wanted to go throw up.
It's in a spirit of fun, though. It's not. Don't take it too serious.
Okay.
Don't overthink it.
I'm going to say Hillary if I have to pick.
Okay.
Because I know the devil I know is better than the devil I don't.
Right, right. Now, I would choose Michelle Obama for one reason.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. You notice that butt was stuck deep in the jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I
Oh, yeah.
You're so wrong.
I'm digging it.
You're so wrong. Derek, take us into a break. I'm not going to be able to get my composure back.
She got a pack much back. So, fellas. Come on. Dance with me. Shake it, shake it. Take it.
It's not Run DMC.
No, it's Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Oh, Sir Mix-a-Lot. Yeah, yeah. I should have known. I should have known. Okay. Yeah, I was thinking Run DMC, but Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I love Run DMC, actually.
That takes us back, doesn't it?
I thought they were actually, as far as rap goes, I thought that was pretty good stuff.
Dude, that's probably the only second time we've done rap on this radio station.
Yeah, well, you know, we're diversification. We're diverse.
Tupac, and now you've done Sir Mix-a-Lot.
So mm-hmm. Sir Mix-a-Lot. I love that name.
We're diverse here at Wham! Talk 1600. Mm-hmm. And on that note, Derek, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will continue this wild adventure through the airwaves.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Washtenaw County Sheriff Emergency Services, in conjunction with the National Weather Service, is offering Skywarn spotter training free of charge to anyone 18 years of age or older who is interested in being trained in severe weather identification, protection, and reporting procedures. The course is an hour and a half long, and identification codes are issued to all who complete the program. There are two training dates. The first is Wednesday, February 26th from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Saline Alternative High School, the Liberty School Auditorium at 7265 Saline Ann Arbor Road in Saline, located 1 mile north of U.S. 12. The second training date is April 5th on a Saturday, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at Washington Street Education Center Auditorium, 500 Washington Street west off of Freer Road north of Old U.S. 12 in Chelsea. Class sizes are limited, so you must pre-register either electronically on the web at emergency.ewashtenaw.org or by calling 734-973-4900. Provide your name, phone number, class date, and verify that you are at least 18 years of age. Old St. Patrick Church will be holding their 36th annual Lenten Fish Fry every Friday from March 7th through April 11th from 4:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. It'll be at the Old St. Patrick Parish Hall, 5671 Whitmore Lake Road in Ann Arbor. For more information, call 734-662-8141 or visit stpatrickat2.org. To review these events and others, you can always visit Wham's website at www.whamradio.com and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies a piece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
Is cheap and disposable. In 14 years, they are decomposable. And unlike my home, they are not foreclosable. Freddie Mac kiss my ass. Woo!
Red Solo Cup. I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. I love you.
Right, so we're
wow,
we've lost all control down here. Good call, Derek. That's thinking on your feet.
Well, Derek's a country music virtuoso.
I love that song. I do. I love that song.
Yep, that's Toby Keith there with that song.
Yeah, awesome. Good call, Derek. See, now you see we're live. Things are lively down here, aren't they?
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
Well, let's move on to the current will be coming out. The February edition will be out this upcoming week. And I did my editorial on the debt ceiling, basically, because it's coming up. And, of course, Jack Lew, Treasury Secretary, Jack Lew, whom I like to call Chicken Little, the sky is falling. Yes, again. Doesn't it always? Every couple of months after they give us a debt ceiling warning and here we go. It's kind of nonsense. You know, we take in enough money to pay our debts and obligations. We got to prioritize. But the way they like to scare everybody is just beyond me. I don't understand that. Derek, do we have track one ready? Okay, let's listen to that.
Yesterday, to let them know, consistent with past communications, that we thought that was most likely the end of February that we would run out of our ability to use what are called extraordinary measures to continue borrowing, which means that Congress needs to act. They should act as soon as possible. They shouldn't wait till the last minute. There's no reason for there to be any more self-inflicted wounds. Congress should just get it done. They should get it done without a lot of stress to the U.S. or the world economy. And my letter yesterday was really just to keep them up to date so they know what I know. There has to be complete transparency on that.
Okay, so that's Jack Lew talking at Davos, whatever the heck that elitist
Davos in Switzerland
party. Mm-hmm. What is it, like the Bilderbergs on steroids? Everybody's at Joe Biden's there too. Ooh.
Well, that sure dumbs down the whole IQ.
I guess, doesn't it? But once again, scaring everybody, and just we got to do it now. Let's not worry about making any cuts. God forbid you should cut something so that you don't go over your spending limit again.
Yeah, I think the point of the debt ceiling is to make us aware that we're spending too much money. And so just to get rid of the debt ceiling is to say, let's not be held accountable for anything, and we'll just kind of keep going as we go and stop harassing us when we want to spend.
Right. Well, see, he likes to turn it around. He says, well, you've already spent the money, so you have to raise it.
They keep saying that every time.
Exactly. We'll stop spending it, and then we won't have to raise it. You know, it's your president who keeps signing the bills and threatening to veto any type of cuts.
This is the same president that ripped on George Bush repeatedly, which, you know, there's some criticism deserved there. But the hypocrisy of this president saying when he was running for president that this is a failure of leadership of George Bush. Well, look at the failure of leadership in his own words that he's carrying out right now.
Yeah. It's amazing, is it? We got a phone. We lost our phone call. Doggone it. I thought we were in trouble there for a minute.
I think we are.
Yeah, so, you know,
we can run, but we can't hide.
Exactly. I don't understand how they can get away with just continually raising. Imagine yourself calling up your credit card company or your mortgage company or your secondary loan on your home and saying, I need some more money. Can you raise my limit again? Don't worry about it. You know, that wouldn't happen.
Or it's like a husband and wife. You know, okay, here's our budget for the month or for the year. And let's just continually blow the budget and throw the budget away and revise it and just keep moving it up.
Keep
and
spending.
Then pretty soon you're homeless.
Well, we've got Linda on line one. This is Linda Hughes, the general
manager. Remember, if she says to each of us, if we have a minute, tell her no.
All right. Hi, Linda. Are we in trouble?
Do I have to take over your show, too? I mean, is that what this is coming to?
Boys will be boys.
Kupke, right? Am I going to take over every show? You guys are having too much fun down there.
Yeah, we do.
It sounds great.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work.
Well, thanks.
Doing good stuff.
You're always welcome to come in. There's an empty chair in here.
I just might. Play all the rap music first, and then I'll come in.
Okay.
get all that out of your system.
Hey, you missed me dancing, lovely Linda.
Oh, that was a sight to behold.
I hope Derek was doing the FaceTime or whatever that thing is the kids do.
I'm blind in one eye after seeing Derek dance.
Webcam. I mean, seriously. I put a webcam in the studio. I just didn't tell anybody.
Oh, that's a scary thought.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, Linda. Okay, so we will catch everyone on the other side of the break.
Wham! Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Shots fired this morning at a busy shopping mall in suburban Baltimore, leaving three people dead, including police believe the gunman.
We are still trying to secure the mall to make sure, again, that there's nobody else injured. And then we are getting our investigators into that crime scene to start doing their work.
Howard County Police Chief Bill McMahon saying his officers have a good relationship with that mall.
They actually have drilled on this in the past, and that experience has been very beneficial to us.
Fox's Molly Henneberg reporting.
Police officers are now going through this mall, store to store, nook and cranny to nook and cranny, finding people who had responsibly sheltered in place, telling them it is safe to come out, and then escorting them out of the building.
And Reuters reporting that major arts and crafts retailer Michael's stores may have been the victim of a data security breach. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enna Media are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham Talk 1600.
Yeah! You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you again for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Thank you much.
Who's on every show in at Wham Studios lately.
That's because they can't get rid of me. I'm like fungus. I just grow.
We've got a chain. Yeah. It's going to be like in Breaking Bad, dude. We're going to put the runner down the hallway and hook you up with some chain so you can't leave the building anymore. All right. So we were talking before the break about the debt ceiling. This is going to be all in the news the next few weeks here. And the question is, will the GOP bluster and puff about what they can do to stop it? And then they'll fail in the end and go ahead and approve a debt ceiling increase. Well, we know they will. The question is, are they going to get? Well, Democratic Senator Patty Murray is out warning the GOP on the debt limit. She warned Republicans Friday not to seek concessions in exchange for raising the nation's debt ceiling. Really? No compromise, no thoughts about compromise, not a care in the world. Don't ask for any concessions. Just raise it. Hello?
Yeah, don't even hint at any
compromise.
Compromise in the area of cuts because you're spending too much. Just do this thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And that's Jack Lew. That's why I was trying to say is, you know, just hurry up and pass it. Hurry up and do it again. Let's hurry up.
Yeah,
how about we all slow down for a minute?
And you mentioned Jack Lew playing, you know, or being Chicken Little, The Sky is Falling. And it's also a game of chicken.
Sure.
Right? Brinksmanship.
Absolutely.
The Democrats are saying no compromise, do this. And the Republicans are, they're putting up a little bit of a fuss. But like you said, they will cave.
Yeah. I mean, what I want to say to the American voter is this. Are you seriously going to vote for a Democrat again when they're running us? It's your money.
The answer to that question is yes.
Why would anyone in their right mind? All I'm asking for is a little common sense. We can argue about abortion. We can argue about welfare and schools and everything later. But the main issue here, there should be no other issue in 2014 and 2016 other than balance the budget. Stop running us into oblivion, financially speaking.
We're over $16 trillion now, right?
17.3 or something, I think.
Oh, so we're over 17
now.
Oh, yeah,
we passed 17.
I lost track. Okay,
yeah.
So we're over 17. And I always hear balance the budget, which is never going to happen.
No.
No. So, but even if we did, in theory, let's think about this. You've balanced the budget for that particular year. The math to me says you're still not paying off any of the accumulated debt, in this case at this point, $17 trillion. You're just maintaining the status quo of rolling over that debt as it comes due, and you still have $17 trillion on the books.
Yes.
And that's if we get to a balanced budget, and you have a balanced budget going each year for the next till the end of our life.
Yes.
And we know that'll never happen.
Yeah, because the $17 trillion does not include the liabilities on pensions, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Well, that's another story. That's another
story. That totals up to like $80 trillion.
Over $100 trillion, I think.
It's an amazing amount of money that you can't even think of. There's no way to really look at it. I would tell any listener, go to Google and Google up $1 trillion, and you'll get all kinds of pictures and diagrams, and it's stunning.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
But let's pretend the unfunded liabilities you just described, the Social Security and everything else, doesn't exist. Let's just pretend that that's not even a factor, and the $17 trillion is the only thing to consider. Let's say that we got, like, for next fiscal year, we got the deficit down to $100 billion, which would be fantastic.
Oh yeah.
In all things considered, that it's like what? It's
still, trillion.
Trillion or 800 billion or whatever it might be. It was over $1 trillion for years after Obama took office. Mm-hmm. So let's say we got it down to 100 billion. Everybody would be rejoicing, but you've just added another 100 billion to the 17 trillion. You have not reduced your accumulated debt by a penny. You keep adding to it. So our only hope is to keep adding to it at a slower rate.
Right.
Right.
And the way it can be balanced is if you put enough economic measures or reduce legislation and regulation to the point where the economy booms again, then you get that exponential income increase that the government will get.
Right.
And that will allow you to either A, balance the budget, or B, start paying things off.
And a boom in real terms.
It's got to be a real boom.
You don't want – well, when I say a real boom, I mean not an inflationary boom.
Right.
You know, like inflation's not a factor, and you actually have real, quote, real economic growth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be done, but you've got to put pro-business people into office, people who understand that taxes, when you lower taxes, people spend more money, they invest more money, more jobs happen, and in the end, you get more tax money in from a lowly regulated low tax than you would if you put a high tax and a high regulation on. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
And part of that pro-business administration should be an element that handles foreign affairs where we're not taken advantage of by China. And I'm not saying protectionism. I'm not for that. But let's stop being raked over the coals by everybody and being defined as the evildoers by everybody when we give away so much money and we set up these trade deals where it's a disadvantage to us and it's so blatant, and yet somehow we're branded the bad guys at every turn.
Yeah.
Whereas Russia and China, who are just incredibly, you know, if you want to say shrewd and selfish and everything, they do everything to their benefit. They're let off the hook in the world media.
Sure.
For the most part.
Sure. They're.
Not us.
We're our own worst enemy when it comes to that. You know, and even our own, and I would hope people would listen to this, but our own wealthy magnates, those people that invest and have, you know, they said a week or so ago that the top 85% or 85 people in the world have more than half of the world's income.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. You know, wealthy people, investors, you know, those people on boards, CEOs of boards, push that money downhill. You know what I mean? Instead of taking millions and millions and millions more, you know, give a little more freely to your workers. And it's incumbent on them. If your workers have more money, they can spend more money. They may not buy your product, but they'll buy another CEO's product, you know? And so I think there's a mindset from the wealthy that needs to change too, you know? Push that wealth down voluntarily, and you'll get economic redistribution. But you'll be in control of it, as opposed to letting Barack Obama and his minions try to force some excessive tax on you, you know?
Well, a big driver of putting that money into the system and investing it is innovation needs to really take off. Mm-hmm. And I read an article not too long ago by an economist, and I forget the guy's name and a lot of the detail. However, he said that corporations are hoarding a lot of their cash because they don't know what to do with it. There isn't a whole lot of innovation, relatively speaking, right now to put money into. So they've got these huge cash hoards. And, you know, a lot of activist investors like a Carl Icahn, they're trying to take over some of these corporations and say, you know what, you have all this cash, you don't know what to do with it, there's no investment opportunities that are going to give you a decent enough return on your money for the risk that you're going to assume, give it back to the stockholder. And that's one reason the stock market is booming, because these huge buybacks of shares and dividends, because they don't know what to do with all the money.
Right.
I mean, one would think that there should be ideas and innovation going on, but probably because of regulation, taxes,
uncertainty,
exactly, the health care, all that factors in. And so they just keep the cash because they got a plan for the worst case scenario down the road.
Right. Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I mean, it's a lot of this. The money hasn't disappeared.
And there's cash overseas, right? They can't bring it home because of high corporate taxes.
Yeah. I mean, the money is still there. It's just not in play anymore. And that's why the middle class and the poor are not seeing their incomes rise at all, because the money they would normally get from working extra hours, working overtime, even having a job, is gone because the money's not in play. You have to get – you got to get it through the thick heads of government that to put that money back into play and get people back to work, you will get more return eventually. That you just can't see it. It's a change in economy. You know, you've got to have that money in play, and they don't seem to want to.
There's so many issues. Do you ever think, where do we start? You know, because we keep going back to the public schools as the root. Like, where do you start? We need to almost start over, and then, you know, you hear like Theron or even myself, you know, like, we got to almost get to rock bottom.
Yeah, well, I said
you as well, all of us.
I thought last election people had hit rock bottom and were willing. They haven't.
That's why I guess Hillary Clinton will come in and then we will.
And when poor people who have been voting Democrat forever finally realize that after 8, 10, 16 years of, you know, if it's going to go 16 years between Barack and Hillary, and you're still poor, and now you're hungry as well as being poor – maybe it didn't work. Is that what it's going to take for us to climb back to the top? I'd hate to see the middle class and the poor get even worse. But that's what's going to happen if we elect Hillary Clinton or don't take the Senate
back. Or Michelle Obama.
Anyways, we digressed a little bit. But House Speaker John Boehner's office this week said a clean debt ceiling increase cannot pass the House. Well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, I don't like the way they've manipulated clean. You know, it's dirty as far as I'm concerned if you pass it without putting some restrictions on it. That's dirty because you're just contaminating our debt limit. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what they're going to come back with? They're going to say, well, discretionary spending is such a small part of the overall budget, and we have all of these programs that we really can't touch. You know, they're going to, you know, Social Security, Medicare, you know. They always seem to pick on defense, though, when defense is like less than a quarter of our budget.
Defense is not the problem. It never has been, and it is not now. Just lay off the defense and do the right things.
I mean, there are certain areas in defense we can be smarter and more efficient.
Sure.
True, but you don't just do these axe-cutting things to knock us down so that we can't even take on a country like Iran.
Right.
Where they say, wow, we don't have any units ready to do anything. Right. You remember like for a while there, we went into the Balkans, Kosovo. And they were saying, well, we don't have any units in Europe that are capable and ready. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It's
really?
Like, what? Like the helicopters and everything? They couldn't bring anybody in.
Shall we go Benghazi and not being ready for something as we all knew about it? We should have known it was going to happen. It's 9/11. It's the anniversary. And Hillary didn't have the State Department ready. Yeah. The military wasn't ready.
You know, speaking of Hillary, you want to go with that audio?
Yes.
It's ready. Go,
Derek. Yes. Nice segue.
Yeah. We do it right.
Clinton's claim last week that she came under sniper attack in Bosnia in 1996.
I remember landing under sniper fire.
So
there was
brave.
Supposed to be some kind of a greeting ceremony at the airport, but instead we just ran with our heads down to get into the vehicles.
Four dead Americans. What difference does it make?
As tired as I am, and as difficult it is to kind of keep up what I try to do on the road, like occasionally exercise and try to eat right. It's tough when the easiest food is pizza.
Oh,
I remember
thing.
Landing under sniper fire.
Four dead Americans. What difference does it make?
It's about our country. It's about our kids' futures.
Why Hillary Clinton didn't do the interview that morning? Did she smell trouble?
She had just gone through an incredibly stressful week.
Oh. Elections are a game. This
stressful.
Is one of the most important elections America's ever faced.
This is very personal for me.
People need to remember
a lot of things
about Hillary. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to this show, we're going to play him for the next 2 years until we run her out of the candidacy.
We're going to try to stop the momentum and the shoe-in that she supposedly is as our next commander-in-chief.
You will have a person who's, I think, wholly unqualified. And that's why I hated that question when you asked me earlier.
That was great.
Who's more unqualified than Hillary Clinton? Well, Michelle Obama, of course. But, yeah, I can't. There's got to be a way to make Americans wake up to the fact that Hillary Clinton is the biggest mistake the Democrats will make if they put her up as the leading candidate for president in 2016.
And that's what – she's almost like, to me, one of the wonders of the world, in that she can be such a failure in public life at everything and yet be looked at as a shoo-in to be our next president.
Well, that's how bad our culture has gotten.
Yeah, it's totally indicative of that. And that audio that I put together, I think, kind of sums up a lot of things. She talks about the sniper fire. Okay, a total psychotic. She made that up and said it, you know, in front of a camera.
Mm-hmm. Knowing full well that it's a lie.
Or she's so psychotic at that point, she didn't know that it was a lie, but she was so stupid to not think that it would come back to her. She talks about, you know, I try to do the right thing and I'm exhausted and, you know, sometimes I have to eat pizza. It's like, who cares? You know, you are running for president. This is when she was running for president for the nomination. You're going to talk about how tired you are. Think about when you get into office, lady. That's when you're going to have to really be on your game. And you can't use excuses about how tired you are and seek sympathy.
She couldn't run the State Department well enough to keep four Americans safe. I mean, if nothing else, as a State Department, head of the State Department, make sure all your people come home alive.
Especially area of the world at that point in time.
You may fail at every other foreign policy problem we have, but at least bring our people home alive.
And that was a showcase area for the administration. Like, hey, you know what? We are going to show you that we're not going to put troops on the ground in any large number. And we're going to have a democratic change in Libya. And we're going to save all these people from Gaddafi's wrath. So you would think that she'd be right in there like, we got to make sure this goes smooth. We're going to make sure our people are protected. We're going to pull this off. None of that was done.
So here's my question to you. Is it incompetence? Or just laziness, didn't care?
It was purposeful to let Al-Qaeda in. You know what? It gets to the point where it's so incompetent that you almost think it was on purpose. But I'm going to still side with the incompetence. And when she says, this is very personal for me, to me, that's what it's all about. It's all about her.
Yeah.
Her ego is so blind with ambition and full of herself, unrightly so, unjustifiably, that she wants to be president just so her ego can be satisfied.
Yeah. She wants to be part of the first husband and wife co-presidents the country's ever had.
And then Bill will be hanging out again going, hey,
the first husband.
Monica, get me some cigars.
He's got a new
Hillary's
he's
busy.
Got a new brand of cigars coming out. You know that, right?
The Bill Clinton?
Yeah. You haven't seen those?
No.
Yeah, they're all hand-dipped. Yeah,
I didn't say that.
They're great, great cigars, allegedly. All right, I'm lying. There is no cigars. I think you'd know better than to jump on that one, right?
But you know, I go back to Hillary Clinton with what success has she had, because she gets all this this praise with no specifics when she was Secretary of State, and this is what I was able to find researching her, if you will. She traveled more miles and went to more countries than any other Secretary of State in the world. Big deal. She flew around and shook hands and did meet and greets. I could do that. Like I keep saying, put me on a plane with a security detail. I'll go to the South Sudan and party with the Dinkas.
Well, we could put you without a security detail like they did with Ambassador Chris Stevens.
Yeah, and put my head on a stick.
Yeah.
But nice. And that, and then she kind of helped get some Chinese dissident, one, out of China. Okay, so her 4 years of Secretary of State, that's it? And she's supposedly the best one ever and should be president?
Yeah, no.
All right, I'll stop.
Yeah, no. I'm not a big fan. You know who is another Democrat I'm not a big fan of? Chuckie Schumer.
Oh, he's great.
Senator Chuck was out this week lambasting the Tea Party and the Republican Party for letting the Tea Party run things. I don't think that's true at all. I think John Boehner has been very moderate over the last 2 years or so, don't you?
Well, yeah, to the chagrin of the Republican.
So why is he blaming the Tea Party for that? He's scared, obviously, of the Tea Party. Let me think.
Betsy DeVos is playing that game too, right?
Yeah. Do we have another track there, Derek, from Schumer? Yeah. You got that one ready to roll? Okay, this is Schumer denigrating the Tea Party.
New York Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer was caught on tape before a conference call with reporters urging fellow Democrats to blame the Tea Party wing of the GOP.
I always use the word extreme. That's what the caucus instructed me to do the other week. Extreme cuts and all these riders. And Boehner's in a box. But if he supports the Tea Party, there's going to inevitably be a shutdown. What we're trying to do here...
Then the mic went dead. 2 hours later, the Senate Democratic leader put Schumer's strategy into play.
Republicans need to decide which is worse, angering their Tea Party base or shutting down the government.
Republicans pounced on Schumer and Reid's political tactics.
You know, today, I think we did find out that Chuck Schumer is intent on playing political games.
It's obviously extremely revealing that Senate Democrats have instructed their members to use extreme language.
Instead of them issuing marching orders, maybe what they should do is get to work and actually pass a plan.
Okay, so there you go. Instead of... doing their job. Caring about the country. They're trying to find a way to play a game and make the GOP look like they're extremists, like they're being unreasonable. They're not being unreasonable. They're asking for some simple cuts to the budget in order to raise the debt ceiling. We shouldn't even be raising the debt ceiling. It should be all about cuts.
Right, but they'll do the compromise if we can have some cuts. Sounds
yes.
reasonable. Sounds like compromise.
Sounds like common sense.
Yeah.
And yet, Senator Patty Murray's already said, absolutely not, not going to happen. So, again, we're going to go into shutdown, but they're trying to blame the Republicans for it. This shutdown, just like the last one, is squarely on the backs of the Democratic Party. They are the ones who are not compromising. They are the ones who continue to spend money we don't have and saddling our children and our grandchildren with bigger debt. And yet they want to blame the Republicans for it.
And once the cave, if you will, takes place and the debt ceiling is raised, it's going to be based on accounting tricks and spin.
Right.
There'll be no actual real anything as far as helping the country lower its debt.
Yeah. Well, Chuckie Schumer went on and went to a progressive meeting and began saying all kinds of things again about the Tea Party. That's the next track, Derek. You got that one? He's trying to get it up. And this is him... again, spewing hatred for the Tea Party, blaming the Tea Party. And what he wants to do is change the electoral process. Here's what he's thinking of doing. Making the primaries. Oh, you got it ready? Okay, here we go.
Why does the Tea Party, a group that seems to represent a small but extreme part of America, have such an undue power? In the Tea Party elite's almost fanatical desire, Rush Limbaughs, the Fox Newses, agree with the plutocrats and spread their propaganda. Negative, divisive, and ultimately unfulfilling politics. Root of the know-nothings. The prohibitionists, Father Coughlin and Huey Long. It's a route towards anger, negativity, and even hatred.
Okay. So he's, again, demonized, marginalized, making the Tea Party look like the bad guys, and via that, the Republican Party put the blame squarely on them. The media is going to eat it up, of course.
But Chuck's not being divisive.
Yeah, exactly.
Not at all.
But here's what worries me. He has put forth that let's change the electoral process and let's have primaries that are commingled. So you won't just have the Democrats and Republicans. You'll take the two winners, whoever they are. You could end up with two Democrats. on the ticket. And they, no more conservatives at all. That's what he's looking at. And you think that's far-fetched? Not so far-fetched, because I've got another track ready, Derek. You got that next one? In 2010, March, just 4 years ago, this March, he talked about changing the rules in the Senate on filibuster. What happened just last month? They changed the rules on filibuster. Mm-hmm. Within 4 years of him making that statement, they went ahead. Now, this track is from 2010. It's a Glenn Beck track, I think. Yes, Glenn Beck track.
And now it's 51 senators versus, what, 60?
Yes.
Right, to change
yes.
the rule.
So they're bringing the filibuster in. So what he said he wanted then, and so let's listen to that, because this is so prophetic. Roll with it, Derek.
There have been some very interesting papers written that say that the constitutional right, for instance, of the Senate to make its own rules supersedes the two-thirds that you can't change the rules, but only when Congress writes new rules at the beginning of each Congress, every two-year period when we reorganize ourselves. That's something we want to explore.
That's something we wanted to explore. Well, he explored it, all right, and then they exploited it, because we have what he wanted just a short 4 years later. And what's going to happen now if we reelect in 2014 a bunch of Democrats and let them retain the Senate and let them retain? Because that'll be the next step. It won't be just filibustering on appointees. They're going to go to the 51 majority is good for everything and ram all kinds of regulations and taxes down the throats of the American people. And we won't have any way to get around it.
Now, what if the Republicans had done that in 2004, 2006?
It would have been chaos. The media would have just, they would have been hanging people.
Maybe literally. Not 2006. Do we still have a Senate majority in 2006? Let's just say 2002.
Yeah, my memory is.
Yeah, mine either. No. But my point being, when the Republicans had the control of the Senate and the House
and
George Bush, what if they had done that then? What if they had done it? What would the Democrats and Chuck Schumer be screaming bloody murder right now? They'd be going nuts. They'd be peeing their pants, and they'd all have to have a change of their diapers.
I mean, I want the electorate to know. 2014, we say this every time, this is the most important election of your lifetime. It is, without a doubt, because they're going to change these rules. And once they go there, what they're doing is setting up a one-party system. They're looking to marginalize the GOP to the point where let's go ahead and have 12 million more people who can come in and vote for the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. That will ensure the Democrats become a one-party system here in the United States. There will be no libertarians. There will be no more moderates. There will be no more Republicans.
Hey, take comfort. In 2016, Empress Clinton and her one-party rule will but they will hit rock bottom.
Yeah. Well, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com, www.thedailydrift.com, and stay informed and educate yourself this election year. See you next week.
I like big butts.